Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Praise God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Good to have each one of you. Praise the Lord. Yeah, Cheryl wants to tell you all something today.
Yeah, Happy New Year is what I want to tell you. Early this morning sometime, I got my Kohl's rewards. I got $2,085. That's what I got. Praise the Lord. So our grand total so far is $161,297.
Praise the Lord.
Yep. And we blessed the children and elderly, 11,942 and 220 families.
Wow.
Praise the Lord. So I want to thank all you guys. You know who you are. All of y'all. You blessed all those kids and the elderly and the families. And I even got three children last week I have to go buy for this week because they have no clothes. Okay? They had no Christmas and they had no clothes. But they're going to get Christmas and clothes. Anyway, praise the Lord for everything He does.
Amen.
He is bigger and also awesome.
How many of y'all know we serve a God that answers prayer?
Woo, yes.
Oh, do we serve a God that answers prayer? First of all, we're going to start out today with some testimonies. Catherine wants to tell us something about how that's wonderfully happened to her lately, okay?
We're in the process of selling our house. Well, this has been a couple of weeks ago. I've had various ladies praying with me, but then Ronnie and I stood with David Rosenfeld a couple of weeks ago that our house would sell above the listed price. Well, the very next day, we get two offers that come in. One offer was coming in for $10,000 less. Ronnie was wanting to take it, and I was kind of wanting to wait, but I said, okay, I will submit to you. We'll go with what you wanted because that's what God asked me to do. No sooner than Ronnie starts to make this phone call to the realtor calls Ronnie and says, have you checked your email? He says, well, no, I haven't checked it yet. The realtor told him that another offer had come in for $4,000 above. Praise the Lord. So now our house is supposed to close on January 19th.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, let me tell you a little testimony, and then I got a couple of testimonies that people want to say, but I want to tell you this one because lots of people never think about what I'm going to tell you today. But my son and his son wanted to go deer hunting a couple of weeks ago. And they were going down to the farm. We have the land my dad left me when him and mom passed away. He left me 100 acres of land down in South Texas. And it's got deer on it. So I told my son, I said, okay, son, we got to sow some seed for into the kingdom because you just don't go out and hunt for a deer, you know, because I used to do that before I learned how the kingdom worked. And I could go out and hunt for a whole weekend or for 2 or 3 days and maybe never even see a deer. But after I'm learning the principles of the kingdom, I don't do that no more. When the Lord says, pray about everything with thanksgiving, what do you mean, Max? That's what he meant, right? Told my son, I said, okay, Preston wasn't there with us, but I said, you can tell him later. I want you and me to agree, according to Matthew 18:19, that when y'all get down there, the afternoon you get down there, before dark, before an hour, you'll have about an hour. And I said, I'm going to ask the Lord within that first hour that Preston gets his first deer. And so be specific. You know, somebody said, well, you're putting God to the test. No, I'm just taking him at his word. He's the one who told me to do that, wasn't he, Miss Jackie? And so I asked the Lord to give my son, a nice deer that within that first hour after he got down there. I said, then the next morning, they're going to get up and go back out there and hunt a little while longer before they come home that afternoon. I said, so Lord, give him his second deer within an hour of the next morning. Somebody says, goodness gracious, you think you can just put God to the test? No, I'm just doing what he told me to do. And so I asked the Lord to give him the first deer and then the second deer the next morning. I said, then the next weekend they're going to go back. And when they get down there the next week, within an hour after they get there, I want him to get his third one. I mean, how big is your faith? I mean, did the king say we could ask for things like this? Did he really say we could ask for things like this? Then why don't we use him? Why don't we do what he says? So anyway, just like Catherine did, you know that testimony? She told us how she submitted to her husband, and God, instead of taking $10,000 less, he gave her $4,000. You know, I don't know about your math. That's $14,000 extra dollars. Well, I look at that. So anyway, it pays good dividends to obey God's word, does it not? When they went down there that first day, well, sure enough, within an hour, he got his first deer, a little buck, you know, and so they took it to the locker plant and everything, and the next morning, they went out there again, and within an hour, he got his second one. So they took it to the locker plant and put it in there, and then they started home, and they come home, and they got home, and the next week, they went back, and they went out there, and within 1 hour, if they got there, he got his third one. So they took it to the locker plant, and my son's telling Dave the other day, said, Dave, you're going to have to get with me. I got meat. Our freezers are all completely full of meat, and I need to give you some. So while I was down at home this last weekend, my cousin heard me tell that story about how Tim and Preston, because Tim was with me, got all those deer. And she said, well, Thurman, I want you to let my son hunt on your place. I says, no. She says, why? I said, I pray in the deer. I pray in the deer, and I got deer all over the place down there. I said, in fact, that second morning or third morning, when Preston and Tim went up on the mountain there to look down, there was not only a deer standing down there, there was eight deer standing down there. So he just shot one, and then the others run off everywhere. But there was eight of them for him to take a pick. Now, see, Tim said, Dad, there was just deer everywhere. Now then, what happens when you pray? So anyway, I told her, I said, no, your son cannot come over. And she said, why not? I said, well, number one, he don't go to church. Number two, he don't tithe. I said, he ain't sowing no seed. He's a disobedient son. So I said, I do not want that boy on my place until he repents of sin. He makes God a promise that he will go to church. And then I said, if he'll make God that promise, he'll go to church and he'll start tithing. I said, then I will pray for him every weekend until he gets his freezer full. Now, somebody says, you really think you can do that? No, I don't think I can do that. I know I can do that. Isn't that amazing? So, you know, for those guys that used to be like me that went deer hunting and you never prayed, you know, you just went and had fun and you went out early in the morning, an hour before daylight, so you could get in your hut or whatever, and you wait and wait and wait, and you never even see a deer, even though you got the corn feeder out and everything else, you never even see a deer, nothing. You think, what are these guys doing wrong? But I guarantee you, I could ask those men, did you pray over this hunt? And you know what the answer will be? No, we didn't pray. They never thought about praying. How come you get so many deer? What did I do different?
Pray.
I prayed. And did it make any difference? Oh, yeah. In 2 weekends, we get 3 deer. They got the freezers full. Now, do y'all understand when God says do everything with prayer and thanksgiving, he really meant that? Somebody said, I never dreamed he meant I could pray for a deer. Well, you've heard it now from me. You know you can, right? You can do great things. Now then, we got another wonderful testimony. Max come up here a while ago and told me he had a testimony.
The interesting thing is I started listening to Thurman probably 4 or 5 years ago and tried to get my wife to listen, and she doesn't really like his Texas accent. Whatever. She's just, you know, one of those people that's like, I really can't listen to him. I was like, okay. So I come out
here. You don't think it's a message I'm teaching?
Well, over the past couple of years, you know, I've prayed about things, and things have happened. And, you know, I gave my testimony about, you know, when we had the explosion in the shop and nothing hit me and everything. But she wasn't there for it. Yeah. So the week before Christmas, we had my side of the family come in, and we had 24 people come into our house for Christmas on Sunday, you know, the weekend before Christmas. Normally, we traveled to West Texas. All 24 people were coming from West Texas to my house, and we had prepared food and everything, and we got up that morning, and the refrigerator wouldn't. And she's in a panic, and I'm standing in the kitchen, and she says, well, have you prayed? She asked me, have I prayed? And I said, no, I need someone to be in agreement with me. And she looks at me, and she goes, well, I can do that. And I was like, okay. And we walked over and laid our hands on the refrigerator, and I quoted Matthew 18:19, and then I said, thank you, amen, praise the Lord. And when I finished, the refrigerator came. And not only did I just ask God to fix the refrigerator, I said rejuvenate it, you know. So we've never had a problem with it since.
Amen.
The second part of the story is I bought my wife a new car before Christmas. We've been looking for a couple of months, and I got her old car, you know. And I was driving her car this last week, and the transmission started to act up. And I'm driving the car around, and I'm like, God, I don't need to be buying another car or getting the transmission fixed in this. And so I repent all my sins, and I rebuke the foul beast in this thing, and I command it to be fixed and healed and rejuvenated and give me another 250,000 miles in the car. And I drove the car home, got up the next morning. Everything's been fine since. So praise the Lord.
Hey, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Boy, does prayer work or does prayer work?
Well, I got an opportunity to have my youngest grandson, who's 5, come over. And so I try to expose them to the Lord. Their parents are both Christian, and they go to church. So he has a love for the Lord, okay? But I don't know if he's committed to the Lord yet. But at any rate, he was at my house, and I had lost my phone charger. And he helped me go around the house trying to locate Mama's phone charger, and I said, well, let's just pray about this. So I said, Father, I ask that you reveal where that phone charger is. And so an idea came to my mind, a God idea. And so I go to the bedroom, and apparently I'd laid it on my bed, and it was hidden underneath the blanket. And there it was. But my grandson had asked me, why are you praying like that, Mama? And I said, because the Lord will show me where it's at. And so right after I prayed, the idea came. I went into the bedroom, turned back the bed sheet. There it was. And I said, see, Ryan? I said, this is why I pray this way. And so his little sharp mind is storing up little things like that. It was an everyday occurrence. But he goes, why did you do that, Grandma? I don't understand. He understands. He's beginning to get a clue. He's getting a clue.
Isn't God good?
He is.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Well, my name's Dr. John, and I'm partially here, I believe, because of the prayers of my father, who was a minister, and the prayers of his mother, who was one of the first elders in the Presbyterian, first woman elders in the South in the Southern Presbyterian Church, and I'm so grateful for them.
Praise the Lord.
But the testimony I want to talk about this morning is one of my fairly new clients, and we have a big event coming up on in the first half of January with him. And he was I don't know what it was, but a little scared or something, and I was a little concerned about how it was going to go off. So I learned some of the things I've learned about you that we can ask for what we want. And so 3 days ago, I prayed and sent him an email and called him. He answered the phone, which was very unusual, but then he said, I got to go right this second. And he said, I'll call you back. That's at 8:30 in the morning. He calls back at 4:30 that afternoon, and I was fighting, losing confidence, you know, because it was a long time. And then I called him back in an hour and a half, and he says, I'm at dinner. He said, I'll call you back on Saturday. Well, that was, or no, call, he said, I'll call you back. Where am I? I'll call you back the next day. He didn't call me back the next day. He calls this morning, which is part of the reason that we were late. And just to make a long story short, we're in much better connection. And as we were getting off the phone, he said, now you remember, your wife and my wife, the four of us, were supposed to go to dinner to get to know each other better, and I canceled that a number of months ago. He said, I want to rebook it on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday in January. And I talked to that lovely lady back there, and we've got January 5th as a planned date. It's out
Amen.
To him.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God, he answered prayer, doesn't he, brother?
Absolutely.
Amen. Absolutely. Glory to God. Praise the Lord.
I started coming in the 1st of November because a friend of mine, because of an incident in my family, I go to a Gateway. My daughter had told me in October that she never wanted to see me or hear me, ever want to see me again or any of the grandkids. And I was, I don't know if I can tell, I was devastated. So Betty, who's a friend of mine, said, you need to come to our church. We walk in miracles. You know, we walk in miracles. So when I came, pastor prayed for me, and he actually said while I walked away, you know, if he said, do you believe? And it's like, yeah, I believe. But it was like, I know I must have this like childlike faith. So I came to the first healing service in November. And when Dave preached about righteousness for the first time in my life, I understood we are righteous. We are right. And I never, it was just clear to me. But by Monday morning, I was running a high fever. And I went to the doctor on Thursday, and I had pneumonia. So I spent all of Thanksgiving with 102 fever, very, very ill. I came right after, I called Sharon on the prayer line. So I told her about my daughter, and she said, there's unforgiveness. And so she said, you have to forgive all those people that did those things. And I said, well, I'm trying. And the enemy was coming after me like 24 hours at a time, reminding me of everything they'd done wrong, and I would get mad again. And she was saying, no, you can't get mad again. You have to forgive. You have to forgive. Okay, so I was doing that. I was forgiving everybody. I was remembering everything. I was forgiving. What do I do? But I'm trying to take care of me, but what is God doing about her? So I go, she contacts me in the end of November and says, I never, ever want to see you again. Like, I don't even want to run into you somewhere, because I'd called to wish her daughter happy birthday, and she said, absolutely not. And I was just devastated. Went back to the doctor. They said the pneumonia was still there. And the doctor said, you've got the worst case I've ever seen. Seriously, I came in here December 10th on healing day, and I went to Jenny, and I said, I will not leave this building. I will not. We're going to go through every sin. I'm not walking out of your tongue clean. Everything we don't know, everything I need to confess. I have to go.
feel well. I mean, I got up that morning. I'm a musician. The next week I had 3 concerts. One was an all-day concert. And I was like, I was going to call my assistant and say, I'm too ill. You're going to have to take them. You're going to have to be the conductor. You're going to have to do it. I'm going to have to take off. Maybe I'll be well after Christmas. And so I literally, that was a Saturday, and I knew the healing was that afternoon. And I came here sick. And I said, Jenny, I was like, grab the hem of his garment. I am not leaving. I'm not. You will not. I will not go. You'll have to throw me out. And she began to take me through the word. She began to take me through peace. She began to take, but the thing that she said after we just prayed and prayed and prayed, she said, it can't get any worse with your daughter. There's nothing you can do wrong. It can't get any worse than what it is. So she said, just listen to the Spirit. So I started once a week sending her a text. I love you. And she'd send me a text back. Well, that's not the issue. I love you too. And so I wouldn't answer. I wouldn't answer. Last week, with it being Christmas, I have 8 grandchildren. She has 5 of them. I hadn't bought them any gifts. I didn't know what to do. I had no idea. My closest friend said, go buy the gifts, take them to her house, and just drop them off. So I knew she always goes to her dad for Christmas Eve. I was going to take them over there, and she lives an hour and didn't make it. Got up Christmas morning, drove over there knowing that I could run into her once I got there. And I thought, no, I'll just put them on the front porch. I'll go around the corner, and I'll send her a text. Your Christmas gifts are outside. I was 1/4 mile from her house. My mom's on the phone telling me, I've been praying for you and Jay Rihanna all week. And a text lights up my phone, Merry Christmas, Mom. And I said, open the front door. I had no idea that they'd been without income for 3 months and that her father's had to step in and pay all the bills. They've had the water shut off, the electricity. And she has been physically ill, and the doctor couldn't find out what was wrong with her. We sat down for 2.5 hours, and everything she would attack me with, all I could hear was the love. Love is patient, love is kind, love is long-suffering. Shut your mouth. Don't say anything. I literally stood there and said, I am your mother, and I take responsibility for everything that went wrong that day. I take it. But we're not going forward from here. There were moments when we were talking in that 2.5 hours that I thought, we're not going to make it. She was bringing up everything she was wrong with me in the last 50 years. And I was like, okay, I'm wrong. The Lord just began to very, I just stayed patient. I just never lost it. And the very last thing I did, I knew I had to be here, and it takes an hour to get here. And I'm like, and she doesn't like the fact that I'm busy all the time, and I stopped. I said, listen, I'm supposed to be at church in an hour, and here's my gift to you. Do you want me to stay here with you, or do you want me to go? And she said, no, Mom, you can go. And I'm telling you, God healed every bit. If you can't imagine, all the way over here last Sunday, she's texting me, I need my mom. So I feel like I'm a baby in all this, but I've been listening to those CDs like around the clock, like 24 hours. And I'm telling you, for somebody who feels like I'm this toddler in the spiritual realm, you can't tell me this doesn't work.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord.
So I'm a teacher at a school, and the stomach flu has been going around. All the teachers have had it. All the children have had it. And I've been praying every day before I went into school, Lord, please keep me in some kind of spiritual bubble where nothing can enter my body. This sickness won't affect me at all. And he did. And every morning, the director would call me into his office, and they would say, how do you feel? Are you sick? Do you have it? Do you need to go home? And I'm like, no, Jesus is my protector. I always turn it back to Jesus as a testimony, because a lot of the people I work with, they're not believers, so I try to put it out there as much as I can. And so I continued to do that every day. He would ask me, and I'd say no. So it got down to I was the last one that wasn't sick. I was like, thank you, Jesus. Well, one of the little boys in my class, he got sick. He started throwing up. And I was like, it's no problem. I'm not going to get sick. So I called his mother, and I said, this is his teacher. He's sick. He probably needs to go home. Can you come get him? And this woman got angry, and she said, he's not sick, and I'm not coming to get him. And she hung the phone up on me. And at that moment, I got so angry. I was holding the phone, and I just couldn't believe that this woman hung the phone up on me, and I got angry and offended, and then I started going to all my coworkers and telling them what she did. And I was so blind at that moment that I didn't even realize what I was doing. So that night I went home, and at about 2 a.m, I started feeling it, and I was like, oh no. So I started throwing up about every 30 minutes. It was so horrible. And I got up, and I was laying on the couch crying for my mama because I was so sick. And I cried out to the Lord, and I said, Jesus, What did I do? Please show me. And he brought me back to that moment when she hung the phone up on me. And he said, you've had a problem with anger in the past. You can't do this. And he said, you don't know what that woman's going through. You need to pray for her instead of being angry with her. So I said, Lord, I repent. I'm sorry, please. I'm sorry, forgive me. And I started singing hymns and just praising him at that moment. And I stopped throwing up instantly. Yeah. And then the Lord is so merciful that even though he'll give you a little slap on the hand every now and then to remind you that you can't do certain things, he still shows you so much love. And he put me in this deep sleep. It was like the best sleep of my life. And it just healed my whole body. And I woke up and I was only sick for a few hours. And most people were sick 3 or 4 days with it, but praise the Lord, I got over it and I learned my lesson.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Wonderful testimony, honey. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
My name's Annie, and I just, first of all, want to start out just thanking everybody who has supported me so much in the last 4 years. Because, like, I was with my girlfriend last night, and she said, you're just so happy about the new year, and we're not even really doing anything. And I said, girl, if you knew how long I waited to be this happy on the new year, you know. So anyway, I just really want to thank everybody. Also, I'm just amazed constantly that what I need, I find here, like Dave's sermon on wisdom and being happy, because I truly am happy. And the other day, I just told God, I said, oh, I just have to admit I'm happier, you know, because I didn't exactly go along with his plan, you know, happily at all times. And but what I really wanted to give a testimony on is the wisdom of picking a good Christian company to work for, because I'm a realtor and I'm an independent contractor, but I do have a broker. So I made the decision in 2012 to switch this company, and part of it was because the company I'd been with had been so selfish and evil, and just, you know, if it was between the good of the agent and them making money, who's that agent, you know? So I went with this company, and we can put Christian scriptures on our emails. We can talk about God at our meetings, and it just a whole nine yards. So I did this deal recently, and I reduced the commission because it was for an older woman, because I don't usually do leasing, so I thought that they only charge $75 for a lease. So I start to do my commission statement, and it pops up 10%, which went from 75 to 160. I was like, well, okay, I can deal with that, you know. Well, then when it went through processing, the girl emails me and says, well, on commercial, it's a minimum of a $500 commission. And I'm like, so because my MLS dues are due, and they're like $650, and I was counting on that to pay them. So I wasn't ugly. I just texted her back and I went, oh great, there go my MLS dues, you know. Didn't think anything else about it. Well, the next day I get my commission statement, and they lowered my commission to 15% of the transaction, which saved me over like almost $250, $260. So I was still able to make my MLS payment and my car payment, and I'm just very happy to be here.
Praise the Lord.
I love all y'all.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay, praise. We got them all now. Is there anybody else? We love serving a God that answers prayer.
Thank you. The Lord's quickened me to let you know that there is something that's very important, and that is that we don't call on the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is a joyful spirit, right? The Holy Spirit can bring joy. And I went through, I hate to say this, but I had gone through a third divorce in my life. And that devastated me. I thought, oh, I'm a failure everywhere I turn around. They all left, except this lady over here. And we've been together 27 years, so I can go back. Now, let me get to the point here. I learned when I was at my lowest point and desperate, like some of these people have admitted that they were really at that place, I found that if I asked the Holy Spirit, and I got that out of the Word, if I asked the Holy Spirit to bring me joy and totally committed to Him and said, joy, Lord, I am so down today, bring me some joy, please. You know, and you're pouring your heart out, and many times I was crying. If you think real men don't cry and real men don't love Jesus, just leave, because they do cry and they do love Jesus. Two things I'll add right there. But we think of prayer so often with talking to our Father and to Jesus, but that Holy Spirit is right here, and He's the one who brings that occurrence to us. Now, just to cite one example of that, or two right quick. One time it was Christmas Eve, and I wasn't with my family. I didn't want to bother them. And, you know, I was down, but they were having a good time. So I didn't want to bring any sadness around them. And people are going through divorces and been divorced. They know what I'm talking about. But so I was at a motel, and I at that time was having to do some insurance work because I couldn't find anything to do in oil and gas. That's a few years back when it was really down low, lower than it is now, and hard to do anything. So I was in a motel, and it was raining Christmas Eve. And I asked the Lord, I said, or I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, Holy Spirit, I don't even know where I'm going to go eat tonight. And I said, I'm hungry. I just wish you'd bring me some joy. And so then I thought, well, I don't know where to eat. I was over in Mesquite. So I walked around to the desk, and I asked the lady at the desk, I said, ma'am, can you tell me a good place to go around here and eat? She said, what are you doing here on Christmas Eve by yourself? I said, oh, I'm kind of going through a tough time. I said, I'm by myself tonight, and I'm really not with any family, and I would like to just be able to find a place that I could eat and then come back and go to bed. And so we talked. She kept me talking with her a few minutes, and it wasn't but about 30 minutes. And I said, well, I guess I need to leave. And a lady walked out from behind, out of the office right behind where the desk was, and she had a plate full of food. She had turkey and cranberry sauce, and she had dressing. She had everything that you could want for a Christmas dinner. And she brought that out and said, now you don't have to go to a restaurant. It's raining anyway. And I took that tray back, and I thanked her, of course. And I ate that food, and I realized that this was the second time that I had called on the Holy Spirit, and it took about 30 minutes for something to happen, for him to set things up so that they could. You know, you have to give the Lord time when you make a prayer. He's got to set things in order. So, and the last occurrence, I'm going to jump to this one, and I did that several times, but I have learned something about that 30 minutes. At that time, I was living in Abilene. On this last occasion, I was at a motel again, and in the same area, taking this extension course for more insurance, and I was on my knees. I never will forget that morning. It was on June the 4th of 1989, and I was on my knees, and I said, God, I'm so lonely. I said, I want a wife. I want somebody that loves me and I can love. And I said, you know, Lord, it takes 30 minutes for the Holy Spirit. I was telling him how long it took. I said, it takes 30 minutes, and I'm going to leave here and drive over to Calvary Temple, where that's what we called it that time. And I said, I'm going to Calvary Temple, and I'll spend the day with you there, and then I've got to drive on to Abilene. I was telling him my agenda. And so I drove to Calvary Temple. It took 30 minutes to get there. And bless God, I went in the singles class. I looked at the back of the room, and I saw this lady. This one. And she was sitting back by herself. And I'd off and on when I was in town. At that time, most of the time I was out of town selling annuities. So at that time, I looked back and I thought, I don't remember seeing her here before. And if she's not doing anything, if she goes into that sanctuary by herself, I'm going to follow her in. And then if there's nobody with her and she's not doing anything for lunch, I'm going to ask her to go to lunch. And I had all this in my mind. I just whirling right on through. Well, I did go to the sanctuary, sat next to her, introduced myself. She was sitting in a single section. And then I asked her, I said, Betty, if you're not doing anything for lunch, I'd like to take you to lunch. And she said, well, I guess it'll be okay. So we went, we had a nice dinner. I took her to a nice place down at the Mandalay there in Las Colinas. And we sat there that afternoon, and we laughed and we cried and talked. And, you know, we told about our situation. She was divorced and I was too. And so we went back to church that evening to Calvary Chamber. They had an evening service. We went back. We went to church. We came out. And y'all are not going to believe this. When I got to that car door with her, she'd already told me where she worked. I didn't ever ask her for a phone number. But I looked at her and I said, Betty, I love you. And just all this happened now within about 6 hours. Well, I got in my car and drove on to Abilene. I thought, what did I just say? And so I thought, wow, I don't know. She may never talk to me again. But anyway, she didn't have much of an answer when I told her that. She just looked at me. So I went on out to Abilene, spent a couple of days. Then I called her, and she asked how I had her number. And I said, well, kind of easy. You talked about where you worked, and I could do that. I could find you. And but I would like to see you again if we could. So she said, okay. Well, that was on June the 4th we met. And then on 9/2/89, that month, the ninth month, we got married. And I've never one time ever had to ask the Holy Spirit for joy or happiness since that minute.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's fantastic. Amen. That's great, great. Okay, praise the Lord. We've got another one coming here. Wow, we're really on a roll. Okay, tell us what's going on, girl.
Praise the Lord, y'all. y'all. I'll try not to cry. But
that's okay.
I'm so thankful for this church. I'm so thankful for Thurman, this beautiful wife, and all of y'all. I give you the glory for y'all. William, 10 years after his friend had come to me, his friend was Grizzly. You guys probably know him. I met him at the library, and he told me that he was a murderer, basically. My heart leaped down to the floor, the ground, when he told me that. But I saw the love of God in his eyes, and I thought, oh, man, this guy is really wonderful. He invited me to his house that day, y'all. Was beating. But you know what? I knew he was a man of God. So I met his wife, and some of you know his wife, or he's gone to be with the Lord now. But anyways, just beautiful people, and they invited me to your first church. I don't think it was this church.
Over in Dallas.
Okay. And it was wonderful, but I wasn't ready, y'all. And so God was like, okay, you're not ready. So he sends William in the same town, y'all, village, Saginaw, Texas, and I was more than ready. Thank you, Lord. And I thought, God, why didn't I do this, to redeem the time? You know what I mean? Because, we dug in. My husband, thank you, Lord. I was at another church and, dragging my feet, and I told him about William. He started listening to the tapes that, it was tapes you guys were sending out, that faithfully. And he started listening, and he came, and he's like, he was sold. Glory be to God. No convincing. That's God, right? My head's going, okay. He's so kind. My husband's so patient. Y'all have met him. And so I came, and from that day, God has just, created this hunger to know him, to be sozoed myself, pray for my family sozoed. And, people might, and my husband probably thinks I'm crazy sometimes, because just people I meet, and the testimony of Thurman, we just pray for people. Like, you see them on the street, you see a dog on the street, I know it sounds insane, you see a cat on the street, you're just praying for people, and paint things, animals, because we are this is our dominion, right? And we're walking in this authority that we never knew, which is crazy, right? But recently, and God has grown me up, God has grown my family up, and recently we had a major test. My mom died after they prayed for my mom. She lived another year. Glory be to God. Y'all, the day my husband and I were going to Alabama, I have four sisters and a brother. We were the only people going to see my mother in the hospital, okay? And people, and nothing on them, we're learning, right? We're doing, God has got some beautiful teachers for us. So glory be to God for that, and the love that you're teaching us to walk in. And so that day we're leaving, my husband will tell you this, we get a CD from Thurman on, teaching, walking in that authority, and taking, that spirit of death, and, sending it, canceling it, and just speaking life over my mom. First, I asked her if she wanted to live, because it was horrifying to see her, y'all. She had been in, when we got there, she just did the surgery. She had a trach. It was awful. She couldn't talk. I mean, my praise the Lord, my five-year-old at that time would just rub her hands and comfort her. And long story short, God brought her through that. Thank you, Jesus. And for a year, we could talk to her. My husband was able to spend quality time. We were able to spend quality time with her. And she got a year. Praise the Lord. So she passed, and there was division in our family. You don't expect that, right? So it was very hurtful. To make a long story short, my husband and I, we had to be in agreement, y'all. It's the most profound thing. When we were in agreement and walking our walk with love, just amazing things would happen for my family. And God would reveal amazing things to Alex about what to pray. Because I had a sister. Y'all, God is so funny. One sister out of, how many did I say? Four sisters? That was controlling everything, okay? Because I allowed her to, right? Because I wasn't, initially, I was in the flesh, like we can do. And I got a lawyer, and we're going to get this, probate done. And we're going to, do whatever we need to do. And if she's not on board, that's just too bad for her. Right. That's not how God does it for his children, is it? No, unfortunately for me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, though. He's growing me up. But I started seeing that. that in the flesh, when you reap in the flesh, what do you get? Oh my God, have mercy. It was horrifying. The lawyer was just going to rake us over the coals. And God was like, are you going to do it my way? Or are you going to do it your way? So guess what? Thank you, Lord. His way is always the easiest and always the best. So I got rid of that lawyer, okay? And God was helping me with fear, y'all. All Isaiah. Oh my God, Jesus, thank you. He was helping me with fear. And that I'm redeemed. Because I didn't have a father per se. You know, God's always been my father. And so I had to. And that righteousness that someone mentioned, okay, that was helping me understand that all things are possible. I can trust in him. Even though I don't understand what's going on, and this seems like there's no hope, I'm just going to trust and I'm going to lean on him. So God turned that sister around, long story short. Oh my God, thank you, Jesus. It was half a year she wasn't talking to us, okay? And some beautiful Gary and Kay, after I fired that lawyer, God was like, I'm your advocate. And I met the Gary and Kay helped with the paperwork that I needed, like the final paperwork for the house to get it sold. That was divine, because I was doing, if you're your own lawyer, you have to know what you're doing, right? So God would just place people in my life, in the courthouse, just to get it done. And the doctor and his wife, right when I was going to, when I fired the lawyer, because I was like, no way, Lord. By now I should know, right? Not to say, no way, Lord. Help me, Lord. But the doctor and his wife, I can't remember their name, but she had done something, and she represented herself. And she said, you know what, Trina? You can do this. You know, God makes all things possible. And because at that point, I was going to find another lawyer. And God was saying, no, I'm your advocate. You know why? When they're going to charge you double, we had already $4,000. So all of them were going to do that and then some. They made it known. And the verse that I would say is, let the truth be known and the hidden things be revealed, when I was talking to them, because I called countless ones. Because, you know, again, not trusting, but he was saying trust. But, you know, he's so faithful and merciful, and his grace, it just endures forever. So he, God, was like, okay, again, you're going to do it with me the easy way, you know, trusting me. Although it seems hard when you're doing it, are you going to do it the hard way? You're going to let another lawyer take advantage, okay? Because that's what was going to happen. So, because he showed it to me, and he, because y'all, this is so funny. One of them was like, okay, well, once you do decide, you know, to take me, you know, I'll charge you ahead, you know, this amount of money, $1,000. But when you're done, I can get the rest of the money after the probate settles, right? I mean, is that God or what? But he spoke that. So am I going to be using God's wisdom or, you know, so I said, no, no way. So anywho, make a long story short, my sister signed everything needed for us to close this probate. And she wasn't going to talk to me or the other two siblings. And there's division, and God just worked it out, y'all, supernaturally. I know it was supernatural, because I know people that don't talk to their siblings for years. And not only does she talk to me, she says she loves me. Y'all don't know how profound that is, because she'd not done that before. And just the love that she has, you know, and I could talk to her in love, and I could not think, oh, my sister's being so selfish. And you know what? My husband and I gave her everything. And sometimes you have to do that, don't you? Okay. But it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. I'm not going to, you know, say, but it was God. It was his love. It was his heart for her. And I'm just giving him the glory for doing that, for allowing me to, you know, get there. And one more quick story. So I give him the glory, and y'all for praying and helping. Profound family of God, y'all. It's beautiful what God is doing here at this church. We can't understand, you know, what God is doing through this church and through this ministry, just for not only, you know, for us to come here and learn, but for us to dig deeper, to want more of him every day of our lives, just to be walking in love and do what God has called us to do and walk in that image, right? So anywho, last story short. Try to make it short again. We have dogs, y'all. We love dogs. And one of the dogs came up missing. I took him to the dog park. He got away from me. And for 3 days, y'all, this sounds ridiculous, but for 3 days, I was crying about this dog. I'm like, God, this is a rescue dog. It was a neighbor's dog that didn't want it. Why am I so, you know, worried about, you know, this dog? The dog, God always brings this dog back. This is my test. This dog is my test, just to give it to him. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, and not take it back. So again, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then this verse my son and I have been going over is, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him. So I'm crying about this dog and trying to give it to God. I know, God, you're going to bring this dog back. I know you're going to do this. But, you know, after the second day, I'm like, well, somebody has a dog, Lord. So then I pray. What's the verse? Help me. The king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. Yes. Okay. He, as the rivers of water, he turns it whithersoever way he will. So I said, God, whoever has my dog, you turn their heart. You convict their heart to return my dog. This dog always comes home. So, and I'm walking in the dog park with my other dogs, and I'm crying, y'all. It's 9 o'clock. I'm raising my hands. I'm like, God, I know you're going to bring my dog home. And I'm saying, so I believe it in my heart that I'm going to trust in you, and you are my shield. You are my strength. I'm going to still trust in you, although this is the second day, Lord. You know, I feel like I'm in the belly of the well. You're going to give me that dog. I know you are. And that's that boldness, right? You're going to give me that dog, Father, because your every promise is yes and amen. Y'all, at 4 o'clock in the morning that day, I brought the dog home. And I was so thankful. I was crying and thankful. But you know what? It's the test. It's the test. And Thurman has been telling me that. And I'm in another test. But praise the Lord. You talked about ought. I'm going to get rid of the ought, Thurman. I'm working on it. Amen. And God is growing us up as a family, us up as a church. And we just have to seek him. And he will seek him first, Lord, he says, right? And acknowledge him in all his ways. Amen. Okay? And he will give us everything. He does it. He even cares about stray dogs that are rescued.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow. Now then, do we have anybody else? Praise the Lord.
In fact, I feel that I'm supposed to tell this testimony, but I also want to say something about one of the publications here called How to Get a Lost Person Saved, Save Person Lost, which is probably what I've been doing prior to that. And the Word of God is true. It's true in its meaning, and it's true that the power to be able to transform people rides on the sound of the Word spoken. And it requires faith, and faith requires that we love. Faith does not work without love. So I want to tell, about a month and a half ago, my younger sister came up, and her husband was there, and he's saved. And I don't know their relationship to the church. My little sister's Joni, and his name's Gary. So when they married, I became Brother Gary before I became Brother Gary. And I'm used to that now. Well, they came in, and y'all remember a while back, the Holy Spirit gave me a poem we shared here, and to his glory, and he told me that that poem was going to, those people that are on the edge, still listening to that voice holding them back, that when they related to that poem, that they were going to be able to receive the Lord and be saved. And so they came up and visited about a month or so ago, and I shared a little bit about what was taking place at this church and about the Word and about God, and there's so much more than we ever knew growing up. And we had a conversation before she came up on that. So when she was up, I shared that again. I shared about this poem and this experience, and she wanted me to read it. So her and her husband sat down, and I explained a little bit to him behind it, and we read that poem, and it created just an incredible atmosphere. The Holy Spirit was there. And it wasn't soon after that that I was sitting at the feet of my little sister, and I was asking her husband where his faith was. Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And he was just, I have. And I asked my sister, Joni, I said, can you say that Jesus is your Lord and Savior? And she goes, can we talk about something else? I've got this problem with this lady down in Houston. Can we talk about how to deal with that? Because I know you. I said, we can in a minute. I said, but do you feel like you're going to lose control if you say that? And she goes, I don't know. So I talked to him a little bit more, and then I came back to her. Are you ready? Would you like to say that Jesus is my Lord and Savior? She goes, can we go to something else? And she looked with her loving eyes to her husband, and he later told me that he just looked back and says, it's your decision. And he could have stopped it at any minute. And later, I found out he was praying so deeply in his heart that she would say it. And I sat there at her feet, and I was just talking to him, and I was asking, it's kind of like, well, it's like, Lord, what do you, and he said, and I said, okay, Lord. I said, Father, you said if anyone's lost on this earth, it's because the God of this earth has blinded them to the truth. And I said, and I spoke that over her, and I said, devil, it's time for you to go in the name of Jesus. And then I gave her a minute, and I turned to him and talked a little bit more, and then it was time to ask her again. And in that second, that split second, all of a sudden, it required faith. The first two times I asked her, I didn't risk anything, because now I had spoken the Word of God, and am I going to believe it? And just for a minute, I said, no, Father, I'm asking. And I asked her, would you like to say, Jesus is my Lord and Savior? And she said, Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And what, after thinking about that, and I talked to him about a week later, and he said that his experience was, he was a police officer, and the only other time that he felt what had taken place there was when he was in a stairwell, and the Lord told him to move back, and there was gunshots going, bullets flying. And he knew he said something told him to get back. And then the later forensics is like, the bullet just missed his head by that much. And he likened this experience to that, praise the Lord. And I just want to make one other observation, because I asked the Lord later, I said, why? He says, person is lost because God of this world has blinded them. He He goes, they're not lost because they're in rebellion. They're not lost because of what Adam did. They're not lost. I mean, they're not lost because, and what was so, what came so clear was when I asked her, what are you feeling? Think about how you feel. She literally says, I don't know. She goes, I don't know. She was literally separated from her feelings about saying that and her motivation. And then she was free to make a choice. And it was very beautiful. And I love you, Joni, and I love the Lord, and all glory and honor be to him.
Praise our brother.
And that teaching came from the Bible. Amen. And the willingness of this man and this church to speak it.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. Praise God. Thank you. Praise God. Love you too. Wow. Praise God.
This is taking me way outside my comfort zone. I'm going to call this the answer to 50 years of prayer. My mother was a very demonic woman. She performed abortions. She went to seances, got her fortune told once a week, was not a monogamous woman. And our youngest son, when he was 4 or 5, was first time he was in her presence. And that's when we lost him. He became influenced by her and never honored his parents after that. And he's 55 years old. He was recently in the hospital, was convinced that he was going to die soon. He was very sick. The Lord took him to death's door. I think you're going to see a 75-year-old man cry here pretty soon. And he called, and he said that. He said, I think I'm going to die. The Lord tells me I have to make it right with you. He said, I have never called you dad. I referred to you as my mother's husband. I've never honored you as my father. He said, I've been a terrible, terrible son. And then he said, I love you, dad.
Praise God.
So that's an answer to 50 years of prayer.
Amen. Praise God. Wow. It ain't never too late. We got another one.
Very good. This July, Camilla and I, my wife, we took a trip from Keller, Texas, to went up to Nashville, Tennessee, and then later we went on up into Kentucky, and then back up into Indiana, and then back down all the way to Mississippi. Before we left, we took a stack of the CDs and the DVDs that you see around here, and we prayed, Lord, lead us to somebody that we can witness to that needs information that's on these CDs and DVDs. So as we left, we also prayed, and this is a materialistic prayer in a sense, but I'll show you God can answer materialistic prayer. Too. We collect Tell City maple furniture that was made from 1865, and the company went out of business in 1996, and it was all started in Tell City, Indiana by some farmers. And over the years, they built millions and millions of dollars of business in this. So we prayed, Lord, we've been looking for some of this stuff for 15 years, and we haven't found it, and we would like you to show us where it is. So as we traveled, we met different people in Nashville. We would witness to them. We would give them CDs. Years ago in the 80s, we did a construction project in Columbus, Mississippi for American Eurocopter. And we were up there and went over to this furniture store in Okolona, Mississippi that covers 50,000 square feet under roof. Now, that's a sizable building. And we met the gentleman and talked to him and then came on home. And then this time we went back up there and he had passed away. He had an African-American gentleman that was managing the store. The secretary was still there. So we started talking to this man and witnessing to him. He said to us, you know, I just don't know what I'm going to do. My sister is dying of cancer, and she's just full of unbelief. I looked at this man straight in the eye, and I said, boy, have I got your answer. So I went to the truck. I got these CDs. I started talking to him, and I started giving him information. And he looked at me, and he said, I don't know where y'all been, but I've been waiting on you. So we left, went on down into Mississippi, and we went to a couple of flea markets looking for this Tell City Maple stuff. And in between that time, we talked to at least five people, and gave them CDs, and it was a real joy to do that. I told Camilla, I said, this is a lot of fun doing this. It's actually fun giving these CDs away and witnessing people. And so, long story short, we looked at a couple of huge flea markets, and we didn't find anything. And so finally, we talked to a lady, and she said, if I don't even know what you're looking for, but there might be one or two places I'm going to give you the address of. We went to the first place, didn't find anything. And in between that time, we had found a piece that we had been looking for years in Kentucky. That's the first piece we found. Then the last piece we found went into this last place, and it was real junk. And we walked around. Camilla walked around. We were about to walk out. I turned around. I made a 180-degree turn. We've been looking for a Tell City coat rack for 15 years. I turned around, and I looked at that, and there was a Tell City coat rack staring staring me right here in front of the face. Mm. And Camilla saw it too. And she said to this lady, is that for sale? She said, yeah, it's for sale. She said, well, how much is it? She said, it would be $16 and some odd cents tax. So we had been looking for that for 15 years. God answered our prayers in dealing with all these people with the CDs, and he also answered us in other ways too. So it was a lot of fun, and that's my testimony about it.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow. Anybody else?
We were praying for a spring free trampoline, and so we didn't have enough money. So Mom said that we could buy a spring trampoline, but we weren't too excited. So we sowed that as seed, and we got a spring free trampoline.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise.
Praise the Lord. So I don't know if y'all know what a spring-free trampoline is, but just add another zero to whatever you think you're going to buy, and that's what it is. And so Mom and Dad didn't have that kind of money, didn't want to spend that kind of money, I should say. So Mom said, well, we got you this trampoline for Christmas. Would you like to sow it as seed? Well, this little guy was the toughest to convince. He wanted a trampoline so bad that he'd put up with a regular trampoline instead of a spring-free one. He finally said, okay. And then Mom says, okay, you're going to sow it. That means you got to get your scriptures. And once you get your scriptures, then we'll believe God for the money. And then these little guys, the money showed up within a half a month of not Mom and Dad giving the money. This was their faith that believed for this, and the money showed up, and they were really excited about it. So I wanted to share the testimonies real quick, though. I wanted to share the scriptures, because that was one of the things we really wanted to train them was, you don't just go and ask God for something and beg for it. You find a promise in His scripture that says you can have it. Well, they knew Spring Free Trampoline was in there, but when they went and looked, they couldn't find it, so we helped them a little bit. So you want to read these scriptures?
I am the Lord God of all the peoples. Is there anything too hard for me? Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask. And so he did only a few miracles because of their unbelief. We will receive from him whatever we ask because we obey him and do the things that please him.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, and amen. All right. Goodness gracious alive. This girl's got a testimony. Praise the Lord.
Well, I should have given this testimony in February when it happened, but I guess if a child can get up here and give a testimony, then I can too. So, I have been remodeling a condominium in San Antonio for 17 months. I just come home on the weekends and make sure my husband and dogs are still there. But basically, I've been living in a retirement home. When my aunt first moved there about 20 years ago, there were very few people in wheelchairs and walkers and canes and all of that. They were mostly very active people in retirement. But since I've been living there, it's kind of become a roller derby, and it's just so many people in wheelchairs and walkers and canes and whatnot, and but a lot of them are, you know, they're still active. They're just dealing with these things. And so since coming to this church April a year ago and hearing all the people that have literally heard God speak to them, and I have loved God and believed in God my whole life and have read the Bible and have believed in healings and have had healings, I just thought, why have I not heard God speak? You know, what's the matter with me? I don't feel in communication or something. So one day I realized that I was kind of hobbling around in working on this condominium. You know, I'm very active. I am through with it, but anyway, at the time, I was very physically active. And after a few days of this, I realized, good heavens, I have a pain in my foot. What is going on? What is the matter with me? And then I had to realize that Thurman has impressed upon us about the Bible saying, if you have a problem, it's coming from a sin. And so I thought, now what? Where have I sinned? What is this sin? What then horrible thing have I done that has brought this on me? And I'm just thinking and thinking, and I think I looked in the Bible, and I'm sorry I can't recall the scripture, but it was revealed to me that I have been seeing all these people that live here as crimping around, because when somebody would ask me, well, how's everything going, you know, at the condominium, and I'd say, oh, oh, you know, it's fine, but, you know, I just can't believe all these people are just crimping around. And so all of a sudden, I'm crimping around. And I realized that I was not seeing them the way God sees them. I was not walking in love. You know, I was criticizing them, even though I liked them and I enjoyed them. I saw them as physically handicapped. And so all of a sudden, I felt like that I was in communication with God, that He was talking to me and revealing something to me, whether I heard it audibly or not. I did get the message. And as soon as I corrected my thinking, that pain just vanished. And when I got on the elevator...
Praise the Lord.
Thank you. When I got on the elevator, you know, the next time, and here came some woman, you know, with a cane, and she dropped it, and she said, I don't know why I carry this with me. I don't. And I said, well, maybe you don't really need it. And so I tried to be, from that point on, positive with people. And then I admired this one woman. She got in, and she was, you know, crimping along. And I said, well, how are you today? And she said, I'm just ripping and roaring. And I thought, wasn't that wonderful? She didn't see herself as debilitated. And so why should I? Why should I limit her? God wasn't limiting her. So it was a big wake-up call to me. And when I see someone that is struggling physically, I'm particularly making a point to be uplifting to them and encouraging to them and see them as God sees them.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, girl. That's great. We love you. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay, is that all of us?
All right, thank you. I love this ministry. It's so awesome to share it with others. I recently got married here in June, and, you know, there are ups and downs, and you work through it and all that. But one of the big things was that we had two houses, and I had the newer house and the better school district, and so somewhat difficult maybe emotionally, but we're trying to figure out what to do with my wife Denise's house. And try not to use the word wavering, but I was thinking, oh, we really got to make a direction and stick with it. And I had prayed, and I felt the Lord had told me a price and to sell it, and there was a lot of input saying the market's up, it's a great time to sell. She just wasn't comfortable, and so we just the Lord works in His time. And but it was getting to the end of the year, and she kept paying mortgage every month, and so no pressure, but at a certain point you don't want to be wasting your money. And finally it was getting down to the end of November or November something, been vacant for a while, and she goes to Gateway, and we had prayed with a very faithful couple, Tom and Leanne Agner, and we prayed a prayer of agreement, Matthew 18:19, that, and he led the prayer, and it was great to have a married couple praying with us, experienced married couple with a new married couple, and the husband led the prayer very strongly and said, not just a fair transaction, but let it be a favorable transaction in the Lord. And so it turns out, we were over there raking up all the pine needles, and the neighbor across the street, this lady came across and said, oh, I feel so bad for y'all raking all, you want to borrow my brother's new electric mower? And it mows it right up, and you want to borrow our leaf blower? And it turns out she had skin cancer and had an issue she's working through with her husband, still not divorced, but maybe some unforgiveness and some other things, but she actually needed a place to stay and wanted to be across the street from her brother. And so Denise's house needs all sorts of work, and it was going to be this big headache to figure it out. This woman is great at fixing things up. So we drew up a lease, and just in the nick of time, she's now paying the mortgage, paying the rent, and the agreement in the lease is that she's going to fix up the place. And her contractor told her, right now, it'll probably sell for about $145, and the number that the Lord had given me was like $204 for a good profit. And the contractor said, by the time I get this place fixed up for you, it'll sell for more than $204. We didn't have to pay for it, and she's going to take care of it. She's just happy that she has a place by her brother, and she's happy to do it.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. Wow, I enjoyed all those testimonies today. That was great. But now then, after hearing all this, guess what my request is going to be when you come in next Sunday? Are you walking in love? Have you died to self? Do y'all see the results that when you die to self and walk in love with everybody, what happens? Do we see testimony after testimony of the love of God that answered when we did it His way? Isn't that amazing? You know, I mean, I think about Max's testimony with his wife and the refrigerator, you know, and how people don't believe. And then I think right quick about this man that Cheryl and I went up north in New York, and we were preaching in a camp, and there was an elderly lady came in. And as this lady came in, she sat down about three or four rows back, and she had a cane and everything, and she was having all kinds of trouble walking. But she finally got there and got sat down, and we got about 15 minutes into the teaching, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, son, the woman on the front row there that has the cane, I want you to go lay your hands on her. I'm going to heal her for you right now. Yeah. I mean, you know, I didn't hear those kind of things from God when I was in the Baptist church. I just didn't hear it. So anyway, guess what I'm fixing to do? I'm fixing to stop what I'm doing. I didn't say, Lord, you're interrupting my teaching. Don't you know that? I am grateful for the master to interrupt my teaching, aren't you?
Amen.
So I walked over there and said, ma'am, the Lord just spoke to me right in front of everybody. Walked over about where Miss Jackie is sitting, and I just walked over there and I said, you know, ma'am, the Lord just spoke to me and told me to lay hands on you, and he's going to heal you. So I said, be healed in Jesus' name. And I said, thank you, Lord, that I walked back over here and I could start right where I left off and start teaching again. Nothing happened. Everything went good. We had about a couple hour teaching on faith, and we left that afternoon to go get something to eat. And we come back that night. When we came back, that man and his mother and his wife with his two daughters came in, and the grandmother that couldn't hardly get in, she walked in like this. I thought, is that an awesome God that we serve? Well, anyway, this lit this man's faith kind of like it did Max. You know, the reason I told you all that, because Max's wife is like so many of your wives or spouses. Some of you women have got a hold of it, and your husband hadn't got a hold of it, or vice versa. Well, he's got a lovely wife, but, you know, she's a great Christian woman. She loves God. But when Max come out here and got healed, he kind of throwed a monkey wrench in the way he looked at God. Didn't it, Max? It changed his life. It changed everything about him because he got healed. And now then, he's a smart man. So as he looks and sees what I teach, hey, that's exactly what's written in his Bible. So we got an issue now here. Now, if this stuff's true, I hadn't been capitalizing on this like I should. And so anyway, he started capitalizing on it, and he started praying for people, and things started happening. And so anyway, like this friend of mine up there in New York, he stayed in contact with me very close, called me real often. He was really on fire for Jesus. And he wanted everything he could get, so I sent him everything. And so anyway, one day he called me and said, Thurman, I had quite an experience with my daughter. He said, my daughter, she don't believe what you teach. She said, she just don't believe God speaks to people. She said, if God speaks to people, how come he doesn't speak to me? She said, I've never heard his voice. He said, well, I had never heard it either until I started listening to Thurman's teaching, and when I started doing what he said, God started talking to me. He said, honey, I have heard God's audible voice a few times now, not many, but a few. And so he said, one day my daughter called me and said, Daddy, you're going to have to come over here and help me find the keys to the car. I cannot find the keys to the car. He said, well, have you prayed about it? She said, no, I haven't prayed about it. So they got to be here in the house somewhere. I've looked from top to bottom, and I can't find the keys. Just come over here and help me find the keys. He said, honey, just a minute before I drive all the way over there. Father, in the name of Jesus, and he quoted a scripture. I don't think he quoted Matthew 18:19 because they wasn't in agreement. But I think he quoted something like John 14:13-14, where the Lord says, you can ask for anything. And he said, I ask you to show me where the keys are to my daughter's car. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And he said, oh, honey, the Lord, when I prayed that prayer, the Lord just showed me a vision. They're out on the porch in the front yard in that swing or that seat that's sitting out there next to the road. The keys are laying in that seat. She said, Daddy, we have not been out. The kids have not been out. Nobody's been outside. The keys can't be out there in that chair. He said, but honey, the Lord just showed me that's where they are. He said, Daddy, will you come over here and help me go look for the keys? He said, honey, you have a walk-around phone in your hand. Will you please just walk out there? Please, honey, just walk out the front door, walk out and look in that chair, and if they're not there, I'll come help you find the keys. Okay, Daddy, this is the craziest thing I ever heard of. Goes out there and she said, you know them keys ain't there. And guess what, Mary? Those keys were laying right there in that chair. She said, Daddy, they're here. He said, see, I told you God showed me. Now, that's going to be hard to refute, isn't it? He's on the phone in another city or about 30 miles away, and she's there at home, and she can't find the keys, and he prays. Just like I thought about that testimony when I thought about Max praying. When Max prayed with his wife, and he said, thank you, Lord, for rejuvenating the refrigerator. How long did it take for the refrigerator to come back on? Isn't that amazing, Max? If he had done that 2 hours later, your wife would have said, honey, that's just a coincidence.
Well, the funny part was, son came down the stairs. He said, look, we'll tell him. That's what we
you. No, you tell him. You tell him what just happened. Because we just prayed over the refrigerator, and it started. He kind of looked at it, both of us going, yeah, right. I got one more to go after.
Oh, okay. You got one more to go after, right?
Got it.
That's just like that, since we're on the testimony deal, that's just like the day that after my son graduated from high school. He was a picture of health. I mean, he still is. I'll have to say he's still a ball of fire. But we were down there in this pasture, this 47-acre pasture back here, and I had about a dozen cows back there, and the bull from next door got in with those. And I took Tim down there, and I said, we got to get that bull out of that pasture. I don't want him in there with those girls. We went down there to get him out, and we couldn't get him out. I mean, man, I even run into him with the pickup, you know, but he was not going to leave that dozen head of cows. He was not going to come out of there. So anyway, I stopped, and Tim says, Dad, we're going to have to go get a couple of horses and a couple more guys. I said, well, son, we got help that you don't know about. He said, what are you talking about? I said, the Lord said he sends angels to our charge. We have angels. So I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, send me an angel. I said, Lord, thank you. I said, now, angel, I want you to go right over there and grab that bull by the nape of the neck, raise his head up, lead him out of that herd of cows to that fence right yonder, then lead him right down that fence row to the far end down where I got the gate open, lead him through that gate, and then I'll follow him, and I'll close the gate. I said, son, let's get him. He said, what are you talking about, Dad? I said, come on. I said, it's going to happen. So we started walking toward the herd of cows. He said, what are you going to do? I said, come on, son, come on. And just as we get up against just about to the bull, all of a sudden, the bull's there with all those cows, and all of a sudden, his head goes, whoosh, and then he walks right out of that herd of cows. He walks right over to that fence, and then he stops and turns to right and starts down that. Me and Tim get about halfway from the four he was to the far end, which is 300-400 yards at least, and we're walking along behind that bull, and that bull's walking like somebody's got a rope on him, leading him. He says, Daddy, this is another one of your wild stories. If I hadn't been here to see this, I'd have never believed it. So you see, we all got our children to trade, Max. You got yours, I got mine. Why is it that we don't believe in these miracles? We're not exposed to them enough. Now, you know, can you imagine in a family where the daddy never walks in a demonstration of the Spirit of God and the kids, nobody in that home has ever seen a miracle? It's not only difficult to train your children that God will do what he says, it's difficult to train daddy to believe the Word of God. But you know, when you come out here, I mean, we have been so blessed walking in obedience to God's Word that, I mean, if I were to ask right now, in fact, I think I will do that. How many of you in this room, since you've been coming to this church, have either heard God's voice or received some kind of a tremendous answer to prayer? Look at the people. Isn't God good? He's an awesome God, and he does speak to us audibly. I mean, and sometimes we disagree with him. Sometimes he tells us to do something, and we argue like Kim. When she and Scott learned about how that they could remit sins of people, and the power was off over their house one night, and they've called the power company, and they said they'll have it on in a few hours, but the next morning they still didn't have it on. So they called the power company again, and they said, we're having trouble. It's maybe a long while before we get it on. And so they hung up the phone, and she says, Lord, what is the problem? And the Lord says, Kim, remit the sins of this block so I can turn the power back on. And her first statement was, Lord, I can't remit the sins of this old block. Then she said, Lord, what am I saying? You tell me to do it. Of course I can do it. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I remit the sins of this block. Thank you. And the power came on instantly, just like that. Just like it did for your refrigerator. Do we serve an awesome God? Is this a good way to start out a new year? I can't think of a better way. Amen. Than to start out the new year.
Yes, we did. He had a dream vision, and that the Lord's going to have the glory cloud drop on this church. 2 weeks ago, Jenny, that works for us, who's a prayer warrior, she actually lived here back when she was 23, I think. She lived here like 3 years, and then she went to Christ for the Nation, and she's been to Heidi Baker's in Africa and out in California, some other churches, and so she's come back as a prayer warrior. Well, 2 weeks ago, the Lord showed her flames of fire in this church every 10 feet throughout this entire church, and the Lord had her go outside the building and every 10 feet to lay hands on the building and pray on the building. She went all the way around the church and did that. Well, we had something that happened last week that we called a prophetic minister up in Iowa, Pastor Keith. And while we're talking to Pastor Keith, I tell him what Jenny saw. And he just said, I saw in the spirit a ball of fire is headed your way. He said, everything is going to change. The atmosphere is going to change. Praise God.
We are ready for the ball of fire, Lord. Are we not? Are we ready for that ball of fire? Yes, Lord, we're ready. Okay. This man In fact, I'll just let you read it, the whole thing. He says he was praying and talking, and he's been listening to me for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years or something. But anyway, he's praying and asking God or something about how to get close or something.
Okay, this was a record. He says, here is a record that I made in my prayer book on December 18th of this year. And you asked me to send you this that the Lord had spoken to me. And I'll type it out just as it appears in my book. He had a prayer petition for the closest communion with the Lord for mortal man to have, even Exodus 33:11. Well, and I went and looked it up. And Exodus 33:11 is when the Lord's God spoke to Moses face to face.
I want you to realize that this man is praying, seeking God for the closest way he can walk with God. Should we all be praying that? That should be our prayer. Lord, what do I need to do that you and I can have perfect, close communion where I can walk arm in arm with you? I want to see your glory. This is what he's trying to say. Okay, read on, honey.
And so then he said, the Father said, and this is quote, as with Pastor Scribner, he taketh the sin issue most seriously. Here you will learn the first lesson in answer to your request, end quote.
And think about that. Did you hear what she said?
Let me read it again, and then I want to read what else
okay,
he said.
Okay.
He said, as with Pastor Scribner, he taketh the sin issue most seriously.
Now, when I heard that from that pastor the first time, I said, you mean he spoke to you and called my name? He said he did. He said, God called your name. And he said, and read that one more time. As with
Pastor Scribner, he taketh the sin issue most seriously.
Now then, how many of y'all that have been coming here for a while know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I treat the sin issue with a very serious... You know I'm serious about sin, don't you? And I try to proclaim to you the purpose of walking holy. Right, Max? We know that. Okay, honey, read on.
Here you will learn the first lesson in answer to your request. So that was what God said to him. And then he goes on, he said, Pastor, upon reflection, I believe the Lord was saying that you have that communion. In other words, that he speaks, Exodus 33:11, that he speaks face to face with God. He said, the Lord paused after he spoke your name, and then he continued. Truly, I hope we can speak from time to time. He said, I'm 59, and I'm learning, coming to pass. These things I've studied since I was a child, and then it's rapidly coming to pass.
Do you know what that'll do to a man when you hear that God's pleased with you? You know what it makes you feel like? It's out of this world. I mean, I'm telling you, folks, for God to say that my pastor Thurman is pleasing me, he's seeking me, and he's taking this sin issue, making it very important. You know, and if you want to have a close walk with me, you need to take his example. You need to walk with me. Do you think he wants a close walk with you, Max? You know he does, don't you? And see, that's why he does all the testimonies that y'all all had. That's why God answered your prayer, because he wants a close walk with you. And just like the reason we go back to Max here, the reason he did exactly what he did with Max and his wife, because he wants him and his wife to be perfect union, and two, praying and agreeing together about everything. And anytime his wife needs a prayer, she should be saying, honey, Max, where are you? I got a prayer request. And just like he said, I can pray with this when I get somebody to be in agreement with me. And she said, I can do that. And now then, it'll make it a lot easier for her. She's seen it work. Is it a good thing to walk in obedience to God's word? This is a brand new year that we're starting out today. I want all of us to think seriously on taking sin very seriously, that we do no sin. In fact, in the scripture, he says, this is what I want from you, no sin. Is that what he said? He wants no sin in our lives. So he wants us to walk holy, wants us to walk in obedience to his word, so that every time we come to him and ask him for anything, we can walk in obedience and pray for anything, just like Max and his wife and the Lord fixed a refrigerator. Who would ever dream God can fix a car? What can God do? I mean, if you worship him and praise him and thank him, he can do anything. He is a mighty God. And Father, as we get ready to take communion, I just want to praise you, Lord. I just want to thank you. I want to thank you and praise you that you're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the God of God. I thank you, Lord, for this bread which represents what you did for us on that cross. And by your stripes, we are healed. Just like so many people today that said, when I got sick, I mean, we saw where they fell from grace. We saw them get out of their love walk. We saw all kinds of testimonies today about what happens to us when we get out of our love walk. When we start treating people like Jesus would treat them and we repent of our sins. In every one of these cases, when people repented of their sins, what happened to their sickness? It went away in every case. And Father, we thank you for showing us these things. This way we don't have to get sick and stay sick a week. Like the little teacher, she was only sick a couple of hours and she had only got a hold. But now then, I think you burned it into her circuits. From this day forward, anytime somebody does something, she'll think about 1 Corinthians 13 and the love walk. Not talk evil about nobody, not get upset with nobody, walk in love and never be sick again. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't God awesome?